Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio. I am Elissa Walker Campbell, and we are so glad you're with us right here in hour number one of the Big E Sports Show. Of course, all of our interviews tonight are being brought to you by our good friends at Progressive Insurance, comparing rates to help you save. Now that's progressive. And the Rio 2016 Olympics, they are underway. And so in our next segment at SB Nation Radio, we're going to focus on women's soccer. Women's soccer, of course, became an Olympic sport in 1996. And Team USA have very high hopes after winning the World Cup last summer in Canada. Back with us on our program is longtime New York Times columnist George Vesey. He's here to dissect and break it all down. Welcome to SB Nation Radio.
Good evening. Always nice to talk to you.
It's wonderful to have you back with us. And so much excitement because the Olympics are here. What are your early takeaways and some of those top highlights?
Well, my early takeaway is it's very different to be back home in the U.S. of A. while they're playing. It was so much fun. I covered seven Summer Olympics,
right,
from 1984 through 2008 in Beijing. And it was always great to me as a writer, a reporter, to be on the ground. And for those of you who can get the New York Times website, of course, I'm not writing for it, but we have so many great people down there in Rio this time. And some of the writers are giving you the sense of what it's like out on the streets. And interestingly enough, I just read in the Times that the viewing attendance is down by 20% from 2012 in London to now. And that has nothing to do because the time zone is favorable. Rio is, like 1 hour off for us on the East Coast. And people just aren't watching the same way. Now, I don't know whether that's the state of the world, but the idea of who's watching and who's paying attention. On the other hand, there are great things to watch. I, as a soccer buff, particularly love to watch the women's soccer. The men don't have a team, have not had a team in this one. They didn't qualify. But the women, our women, American women, are so good, and yet they had a hard time in the end of the first round just getting out of it, just by surviving it. And other nations, the upgrade in tactics and skill in the years. I mean, we talk about the great years, and it wasn't that long ago to me, of Mia Hamm and all those great players, Julie Foudy, coming along in the 90s. And yet that's at least a generation ago. What I see from the women today, or the football, the soccer that they are playing, is a huge upgrade in tactics and in skill and aggressiveness. They know more things to do with the ball, more little tricks, maybe even a little bit more diving and gamesmanship, but they have raised the level, and that's not patronizing. It's so much fun to watch great athletes who now can fake one way, go the other way, and you say, I bet you they couldn't do that 20 years ago. But it's a cumulative effort, and I would give the United States a lot of credit for that. These are the, let's say the daughters of Title IX, or even the granddaughters of Title IX, who are just getting better and better every time you look at them.
Best-selling author and longtime columnist with the New York Times, George Vesey, is back with us right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio. And with all that being said, I'm curious, George, what are your expectations for Team USA, specifically with women's soccer? They're seeking their fourth straight gold medal. Are they your favorite to be the top team standing on the podium in Rio?
Well, it's how they were playing Sweden in the quarterfinals, and it's hard to say. The teams are getting better. The other day, playing Colombia in a game that the U.S. basically needed, at least only a tie to get through, maybe even a 1-0 loss would have worked, and they had a hard time. A player named Esme, whom I didn't know, for Colombia, which never even had a team until like a generation ago, because in Colombia, football was always seen as something unfeminine, and the very macho society didn't want women playing the sport. In one generation, they have picked up the same skill and aggression of the men from Colombia in playing the sport, and this young woman hit two of the most amazing free kicks. One of them went through the legs of Hope Solo, the great, probably the greatest American keeper ever. Solo couldn't handle it. It took a little skip, and it got through the wickets. Amazing. And the other one was an angled free kick that went into the far corner, in the upper far corner. Just an amazing shot. And patronizing it may sound, but for a woman to take that kind of shot, particularly from a team that didn't even have a nation, that didn't even have a team, 10, 12 years ago, it's just amazing. So the more the merrier. And I think the United States is going to have a hard time staying in that top level as the Colombias and the Brazils start to shed that, you know, masculine, any woman who plays is less of a woman, blah, 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 blah. And now they're coming up with the same power and tactics that the men have had over the decades.
You know, so many brand new faces for USA, and I think about, you know, Coach Jill Ellis. You know, that's a lot for her to manage. Does this team seem to have a different feel and look? I mean, you're talking about a total of 11 newcomers on this roster, and they had massive losses after the retirement of Abby Wamick and Lauren Holiday after last year's triumph in Canada.
Well, I don't want to seem brutally honest about it. In the same week that A-Rod was given his walking papers, you know, as a player by the Yankees, you know, basically they just said, A-Rod, we can't use you anymore, and he got the hint, so to speak. The U.S. was, you could say, overdue, but they took a lot of older players. They earned it, of course. I mean, you don't cut an Abby Wambach. She means far more to the U.S. team than A-Rod does to the Yankees. But nevertheless, there were players who really were past their prime. And Abby would be the first example of it. She wasn't a full 90-minute player anymore by the last World Cup. So when you make those changes, I mean, they have two players in this team this year, Crystal Dunn, who comes not far from me on Long Island, college woman now playing professionally, and she is just a mobile player. And on the other side, they have an 18-year-old named Mallory Pugh, who's starting at Stanford. You know, nice to be young and just starting in college again.
Sure.
We're thinking about it. And these two young women are just terrific, and they've had to wait their chance. I mean, Pugh wasn't ready maybe a year ago, but Dunn was. She was the last cut, and now they're ready. And, of course, my favorite player these days, maybe one of my favorite women players of all time, is Megan Rapinoe, who is just such a beautiful presence on the field, you know, with that thatch of light hair, and she's a ballerina out there, but she's also fearless. She came in, she's been hurt, and she played the first 30 minutes of the game against Colombia, and she looked rusty, and I don't know that she's ready to go, you know, 45 minutes or who knows what. But all of a sudden, the passes that were coming from her, you know, she was threading the needle, getting the ball in between seams of players. And you could just say that's why I love her, because she'll just take chances and do things that will lead to goals. And, you know, say play like a man, but there's whole generations of players, you know, the Roberto Baggios and the Diego Maradonas, who just found the space, the innate sense of it, and she has it.
Oh, Team USA Women's Soccer, 11 players competing in their first Olympics. You think about team chemistry, but also, you know, George, how much pressure are they facing to win the goal? I mean, it seems like the target is on their backs, and they face a huge task.
I think the U.S. is always under pressure in that sport. And the same thing with women's basketball. Of course, the American women are down there, and you look at them, how deep they are. They've just established, and the United States gets all the credit in the world. I mean, not only does it have the money and the huge population for it, but by the commitment, by the Title IX rules that got the early players, the Hams and the Foudies, the college players, Michelle Akers, into playing that sport and so many other sports, the money that went into it. I mean, from generation, you as a basketball player can appreciate this, but the upgrade, the uptick in basketball. My daughter played high school basketball. She started on a team that actually had two Division I players, two young women who went on to play Division I.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, if a girl got a ball kind of hit her in the face or something and she was stunned, nine young women, would stand around and see if she was all right. These days, it would be, get out of my way.
Yeah.
And it's just been an upgrade in tactics and mentality year after year. So the United States now is at a point where they should win in those two sports.
The Rio 2016 Olympics, they are underway. Obviously, high hopes for Team USA as we have been zeroing in on women's soccer, going one-on-one with longtime columnist with the New York Times and best-selling author George Vesey, who has been joining us right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio. Thanks for joining us, George.
Anytime.
You bet.
Nice talking to you, Big E.
Of course. Stick around. Much more coming your way right after this quick timeout.